Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. A big news week. The biggest story of the week, though, of course, Vladimir Putin making the decision to move into Ukraine and to try to invade that country. We talk with the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, who gets more classified info on this than anybody else in Congress. We also talk with Senator Alex Padilla about his move to run for election. We were with him as he officially signed the paperwork to run. And a little bit later, we talk with Andrew Whitworth, the captain of the Los Angeles Rams, the Super Bowl champion, the Walter Payton Man of the Year, and one of the most inspiring people we've ever had here on this show. That's in a little bit. But let's start, though, with Adam Schiff. And we spoke with him literally moments after the invasion began. Here's some of what he told me.
The full invasion of Ukraine has begun. And now we're seeing the Russians use their missile power, potentially their air power, to strike Ukrainian targets, to try to cause chaos and confusion, to try to decapitate the Russian military. And I expect over the next days and weeks to come, we'll see Russian forces quickly overwhelm Ukrainian defenses. That will give way, I think, to a long, bloody campaign. Ukrainians are determined to fight, and they will. And you're going to see Russian troops go back in body bags. The costs are going to be terribly, tragically high for Ukrainian civilians and Ukrainian service members. And you'll see the Russians flooding the zone as they are right now with propaganda.
What is the proper role in terms of the U.S.? Because I know you think that we should be doing more than we're already doing.
Well, I think we need to put in place the full set of the most severe sanctions we can. Go after Russia's biggest banks, go after Russia's biggest oligarchs, go after Russia's ability to use SWIFT, which is a financial transaction system that would essentially cripple Russia's ability to do business with the West. We need to kill the Nord Stream pipeline for good. And we need to diversify Europe's fuel so they're no longer in any way reliant on the Russians. And finally, we need to continue the flow of weapons to Ukraine to help Ukrainians defend themselves.
What is Vladimir Putin doing here? What's the goal?
Well, I think the goal is to both stop Ukraine's westward drift and nothing short of making it as painful as possible for Russia will deter him. And I hope this ends up being Russia, Putin's debacle that brings him down. And we ought to be doing everything in concert with our allies to make sure that he fails and that Ukraine can continue as a democracy and one that is free to chart its own destiny.
Our thanks to Congressman Schiff. Now to Senator Alex Padilla. We talked with him before the invasion began. We were with him in Norwalk on a crazy windy day, so excuse the sound of wind. Outside, he signed up at the registrar's office officially to run for a 6-year term on his own right. Of course, he was appointed to the job by Governor Newsom when Kamala Harris went from California senator to vice president of the United States. Now he's running for his own term. Got basically no serious opposition on the Democratic side. The filing deadline is March 11th. We'll see if any Republicans decide to run against him, but we know how difficult it is for Republicans to win statewide. So we began by asking Senator Padilla about what this moment of running for the Senate, what it means to him. Take a listen.
To think that a kid from Pacoima, California can grow up, graduate from public schools, proud son of immigrants, graduate from college, come back to serve your community, not just locally, not even just at the state level, but in the United States Senate. It's a tremendous dream come true.
You haven't been in that office that long. There's a whole lot of people in California that want to be the United States Senator, and yet you don't have any real serious opposition on the Democratic side. Why do you think that is, and how did you pull that off?
Well, as I'll tell you what I've been telling myself and everybody who asks. You don't get to be a United States Senator from a commuter like Pacoima by taking anything for granted. To think that literally within a couple of weeks of entering the Senate, had a chance to be part of the crafting and the passage of the American Rescue Plan. And you remember what that meant, not just funding for state and local governments and school districts, but direct assistance to families that were struggling because of COVID, small businesses that were struggling to keep their doors open, and of course, vaccines, vaccines, vaccines.
But there's a lot of other big things that Democrats have talked about that have not gotten done. Build Back Better, 5 months negotiating it, not gotten done. Voting Rights Act, not gotten done. What do you say to Democrats that are frustrated that more hasn't been done?
Politically, I just got to recognize, what do you think is going to happen? If these are the issues that we care about, if we let Republicans take over, we know where they're going to take us. They deny the science on climate, you know, they're anti-immigrant, all the issues that we care about, we got to keep Democrats in the majority, grow the majorities, and make it easier to continue to make progress.
But why can't Chuck Schumer and President Biden convince the Democratic Party to act on these? You can do this with 50 votes.
Yeah, well, in some cases we can. We've done this budget reconciliation process once a year, but just the fact that we have to look at very limited partisan votes in advance, it tells you a lot about Republicans. Why don't they want to advance child care?
I mean, do you ever have that situation where you look around the room and you realize there's not a lot of people that look like me in this room right now, and then maybe the way they talk about a scenario is not really informed by a life experience the way that it is for you?
Constantly. You know, whether it's talking about child care and what it was like at times being a latchkey kid or being entrusted to my older sister in the summer or after school, my parents were working, or now as a parent, right? Trying to figure out the family's budget because child care is not cheap. I can absolutely relate.
And the LA Times and Berkeley were out with a poll last week. It showed that you have higher approval ratings than Senator Feinstein, but it also showed that 40% of the state has no opinion of your job so far. What do you want those people to know so that they have an opinion?
Right.
What's your message to those people?
And I believe they will know as time goes on. Look, I am a fighter like you have never seen when it comes to our advocacy and public service. The people of Los Angeles know that from my days on the Los Angeles City Council. The people in the San Fernando Valley know that from my time representing them in the state Senate. Proudly took California from nearly last to first when it came to elections of participation and integrity because of my time as Secretary of State. And it's with that enthusiasm and relentlessness that I'll tackle all the jobs and issues that come with being a United States Senator.
And two last quick questions. One, I know you had a bet with Ohio Senator Rob Portman about the Rams. How nice was that collecting? Walk us through that.
Oh, my gosh. So he anticipated. It was on my mind coming into the Capitol when the Rams were on their way to the Super Bowl. Senator Portman reached out and said, let's make this interesting. How about a little wager? And so I guess there's some Houdet beer out of Cincinnati he was proud of. Our friends at Golden Road here make a Rams Blonde Ale. So the wager was on some corned beef sandwiches on his end, Langer's pastrami on my end, right? What's more Los Angeles than Langer's? And when the Rams pulled through, they had me nervous there going into the last couple of minutes, but they pulled through, and that was quite the dinner to relish in that victory.
We collected,
absolutely,
on
the steps of the U.S. Capitol. I'll still pick Langer's,
okay.
But victory
nice.
Is sweet.
Well, Senator Padilla, you're pitching yourself as a fighter, and today you fought back against the wind to get through this interview. Thank you so much. Congratulations. Nice to see you. And go Rams, right?
Go Rams.
All right.
Our thanks to Senator Padilla. Go Rams. And speaking of the Rams, let's bring on the captain of the Rams. Andrew Whitworth, at 40 years old, just became a Super Bowl champion. Just a few days before that, he was named the Walter Payton Man of the Year by the National Football League. That is the most prestigious honor you can win because it honors your citizenship, your work in the community. And he has done so much of it for so many years here in LA and before that in Cincinnati when he played for the Bengals and before that in Louisiana where he grew up. So we talked to him about community service, but let's begin by talking to him about the Super Bowl. Here's Andrew Whitworth.
Welcome to The Issue Is for the very first time, and congratulations.
Hey, thank you so much, Alex. It's awesome to be here. I look forward to it.
You have been on this extraordinary nonstop ride for the past few weeks. Has it actually sunk in yet that you are the champ?
You know, it really hasn't yet. I think that you go through your day, and now things have kind of gotten a little bit more normal. You know, you drop the kids off at school, you go get a cup of coffee, just to see how many people are so excited and grateful and happy that this moment happened for our city and our area. It's really special and just a great reminder, man, of how awesome sports can be for a community.
All right. Well, we just showed a little bit of this, but we're going to show it again. You were mic'd up during the big game. The NFL Films released the video. I was especially drawn to what you told your teammates. Let's listen into that.
You're a world champ, bro.
I love you, man. I'm so proud of you, bro.
Oh, my God, dude.
Oh. I love you so much, man.
We have to look at it. Take it in, man. Take it in. World champ,
world champ.
You know, men don't always tell each other, I love you. But in that moment, why was that so important for you to say?
One of the most special things about this team is that love and that appreciation for one another. And I think that in my age, I realize how much these opportunities are rare. And some of these guys I got to play with are so rare. And pouring into them all year long, I think one of the first things you want to make sure they know all the time to me is that you love them, you care for them. And not just from a football standpoint, but in life in general. So I'll never miss an opportunity to make sure everybody knows that I care about them.
You know, we saw a lot of that love during the parade. I was actually out there anchoring, so I had to be sober. You seemed especially composed. Everybody else seemed to be really enjoying their beer and liquor. What was that day like? And was there a party that kind of felt like their dad?
Yeah, at times, definitely I can. You know, I think that I'm the elder statesman, so sometimes I got to keep it together a little more than others. But I still had a little fun. But, you know, it's one of those days that you're just, man, looking around the city, seeing all the fans that are out there, all the appreciation and support. I thought it was unbelievable to have that moment. I can think of not just the players, but the staff and the people that support us on a daily basis, to the training room, the equipment room, media, everything. For those people to get to be a part of that day too and be on those buses and get to feel some of that appreciation, I thought it was awesome for all of us. And what a memory to create in this city is us getting to go around and do that. It was just a special day for everyone.
You talked about the fact that at 35 years old, people were telling you were done, and then at 40, you won. How did you overcome that at 35?
You know, it's a challenge physically to play the game already. But once you get up in age, really just with the body, the injuries, all of them taking their toll, it becomes a whole new level of a challenge mentally, physically, reinventing yourself, finding ways to continue to be successful. And I always looked at it as an inspiration to other people my age that were in their 30s or in their 40s that, you know, are questioning whether they're capable of doing something. It doesn't have to be physical, be mental. Any job or area of work they're in, you know, just that, you know what, I'm going to keep persevering and keep showing people that we're capable of doing things, even if people say we can't. And so hopefully I'm an inspiration for them. They can achieve anything they want to. Just don't give up and keep moving forward.
In addition to winning the Super Bowl, you won the Walter Payton Man of the Year for your work in the community. The Rams put out a video showing how proud your teammates are of you. Let's take a look at that.
Andrew, congratulations on winning the Walter Payton Man of the Year award. That is the biggest honor that our sport can really bestow on any player.
You're just such an example to those of us that get to be around you every single day.
Your heart for people has just been so inspiring to me.
Which is pretty cool. Can you talk to us about the work of the Big Wit 77 Foundation and how the rest of our state can help you?
Yeah, you know, it's been really a combination of a lot of people that have been a part of this. I mean, you know, Molly Higgins with the Rams has done a tremendous job of helping me find ways in the community to make a difference. I mean, I've got a lot of teammates that have been a part of things. My wife and I, just to us, it's one of the most important things we can do is contribute to our community, be a part of meeting people where they are. And so it's been so special to me. All the things that I've accomplished on the football field and in sports, I don't think anything compares to what really those opportunities have been like off the football field, to be a part of people having their first home or Make-A-Wish events or the opportunity to be there for people just to provide a smile, a hug, a voice, even just your heart to people to listen and say, hey, man, where can I meet you where you are and help you in any way I can? I mean, some of these opportunities I've had in the Los Angeles community is in things I'll never forget in my whole life. And been some of the things that I think inspire my wife and I to be better parents, to be better leaders, and to do more in our community from this day forward.
We are talking with Andrew Whitworth of the Rams. And a big part of what you do is a lot of public speaking as well, and a lot of speaking to kids. You were out at your son's school this week to help inspire them. And we actually spoke to your son. Here's what he said.
It's just how far my dad has gotten, how long he has tried, and he's just kept going.
You've got to be so proud of him. What is your main message to your own kid and the next generation when it comes to leadership and the community?
You know, I think you talk about leadership, and I think I always say this to young kids. I think sometimes we can confuse that with being somebody that's commanding people or dictating people. And really, leadership's about being inspirational, that people want to walk in a room with you. They want to live life with you. You're the person they choose to follow. You're the person they choose to walk in a room with and say, I want to be right where I'm at because this is the person I trust to walk in a room with. Myself and people like me, athletes, people in the community, we're always making sure these kids believe in themselves and creating programs, creating opportunities, and inspiring them to keep chasing their dreams.
You know, when you talk about leadership, I think about Sean McVay, the coach of the Rams. You know, he's 36, you're 40. Was that hard for you at the beginning to sort of take orders from somebody who's younger than you?
You know, it wasn't, just because of what a special human he is. I mean, you want to talk about one of the guys who's a leader, who's one of one. He's a really special man and has been a big part of my life the last 5 years. We've got a great relationship and are obviously really close friends, and I couldn't appreciate him or love him more. And I think the job he's done has been just unbelievable for really not only just the success we've had on the field, but the culture we've created, the business, from the business side of it to the football side to off the football field. It's a really special building. It's the first thing people say that come to work with us, is that this is one of the rarest places they've gotten a chance to work. And it's been a lot of fun. And I couldn't be more proud for him and the success he's had, because he's deserved it.
You know, clearly I'm a Rams fan. I'm even wearing my colors today. We all want you back. You've said you've made a decision about your retirement in the coming weeks. How much is the possibility of spending more time with your family factoring into the equation in your mind? A lot of people say that with you. We actually know how much you actually really do enjoy spending time with your family. How much is that a factor?
It's a huge factor. I mean, the opportunity to be there for my kids' events, whether it's sports or arts or music, whatever it is they love to do. You know, when you play professional sports, and especially something as demanding as the NFL, just with everything that goes into taking care of your body and the mental preparation, there's a lot of things you miss and a lot of opportunities you're not able to be there for things that they get to do. For instance, my son played football this year for the first time, and I didn't actually get to see any of his games other than their first scrimmage, just because of really our schedule. So there's a lot of things where your family, you know, has to make it more about you than really them. And so that opportunity, that maybe it's time to make sure that I understand that life sometimes needs to be about them as well. You know, that's definitely something that'll go into the decision. I want to make sure they're all in support and they all want this as much as I do. And if not, that's a huge part of whether or not you keep playing.
Before we let you go, we play a game on this show called Personal Issues. This is where we do 30 seconds, rapid fire about your favorites. First thing that comes to mind. All right. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Okay, here we go. So what is your favorite TV show to binge right now?
Ooh, favorite TV show to binge. I mean, definitely going to be Yellowstone or 1883.
Favorite band or musical artist?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. I'm going to go a little old school on you, and I'm going to probably go with either, you know, some old school 90s hip hop, probably in that genre. So, you know, you're going to go Dr. Dre, maybe some Jay-Z, some Biggie.
Okay. Favorite athlete other than you?
Oh, my favorite athlete is Troy Aikman. He's somebody that's kept in touch with me, and I idolized as a kid so much. I loved the Dallas Cowboys growing up, so he's definitely got to be the guy.
Well, Andrew Whitworth, you are such an inspiration. If you do retire, there could not be a more storybook ending. But if you do come back, we'd love to root for you next year.
How great is Andrew Whitworth? Our thanks to him and to Congressman Schiff and to Senator Padilla. And to all of you for listening to this week's podcast. We'll be back next week. Until then, thanks for listening to The Issue Is.